You just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Oops, I Love You, by Australian country pop trio, The Buckleys. Coming off the release of their debut album, Daydream, The Buckleys have returned with their brand new single, Oops, I Love You. The single is from their upcoming EP, Take It As It Comes, out later this summer. A breezy pop confection that pushes the band forward from their hippie country roots that put them on the map with their chart-topping debut album, Daydream. Oops, I Love You is an up-tempo fun track with the feel-good beats and melodies. The Buckleys are a three-piece sibling band from Byron Bay, Australia. Signing with Chris Murphy's Petro Records in 2019, the band earned their spot with being the only other band on the label alongside INXS. Under Chris Murphy's wise tutelage, the band has released five singles from their debut album. Here to talk about their new single is Lachlan, Sarah, and Molly. Country pop trio, The Buckleys. Really excited to have you guys on the show, so welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
We've heard so much about you guys. Congratulations on all the success for you so far. It is just amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so exciting to have new music out and be able to chat to people like yourself and get out there and start playing some music.
I bet.
It's a good time.
I bet. Starting to play live right now. Has it been that bad for you guys out your way?
Recently it's been, really great the past 6 months. We've been getting out, we've been traveling, we recorded over in Nashville a few months ago, and really excited to have some new music out. So it's just so good to be back traveling again, going to the States, Mexico, and wherever we can play music. So it's been, we're really grateful for the past 6 months we've been back out on the road.
Well, yeah, you guys being going to Mexico, talk about that, because that's pretty darn special what just happened with you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we are. I wrote a song, actually, with the artist over in Mexico, Camila Fernandez, and she's just recorded it for her debut album, and we were really grateful to, they asked us if we wanted to feature on it as the Buckleys, so we got so excited. We're so pumped to have a Mexican track. It's so good. We were actually in Nashville, and we found out 4 days before we were leaving Nashville to go back home. No, to go to LA and then go home to Australia and Mexico. The team in Mexico called, and they're like, "Oh, can the Buffies get over here to shoot a music video?" 4 days before the flight, we're like, "Okay, I guess we're going to Mexico now." That was our first time going over there, and we just absolutely loved it. It was so incredible.
Yeah, the heat there. Well, it's not so bad at this time of year. It gets a little bit worse in the summertime, but I guess you guys are used to that, right?
Yeah, we miss the sun. It's kind of winter over here. We left Australia and it was summer, and we went to Nashville in the middle of winter, or toward the end of winter. It was so cold, and then we came back to Australia and it was winter here. So we're way too much of an extended winter for us right now. We're waiting for the sun.
Oh man, I bet. How was it going to Nashville for you, Lachlan?
For me, how was it going to Nashville? It was pretty damn awesome. Very intimidating. And there's a lot of other guitarists everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's such an awesome experience, and I highly recommend it to everyone. And it's just the amount of work that you get done over there when you go, you just get into the music scene, and there's so much to do, so much to experience and see, and it's just amazing.
Well, they call it Nashville, that when you're there, it's like being on steroids when it comes to the writing and the recording, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, it's like two body jabs of steroids at once. Yeah, it's hectic. Yeah, I don't think we've ever done as much work as we do over in Nashville.
Is it your...
That's when you're in it.
Is it your first time?
Always on it.
Was it your first time there?
No, this is my fourth time.
Oh, wow.
Sarah's sixth time, I think.
Yeah, we've been going there since we were pretty young, 16 years old. I was 16 years old when we first went. Me and Molly saved up all of our money to get on a plane and go over there. And then we've been going back ever since, and it's been just an incredible kind of musical home for us.
I bet. There's some incredible studios there and musicians when you're going to do some recording there. There's nothing better. And then the type of writing that you get an opportunity to do there, Sarah, I bet has just been life-changing. The people that you get to sit in with. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's so, it is really wild and such an honor to be able to write with these people that, you know, I've listened to these songs growing up, and then I'm, you know, so inspired by it. Songs that inspired me to become a songwriter and get into music, and then I'm like we're writing with the people that wrote those songs. It's, yeah, super amazing experience, and we definitely don't take it for granted.
Well, you do most of the writing, right, Sarah?
Well, for the first album, Daydream, I was kind of, did most of the writing on that one. But over the past 2 years, or 3 years, really, we've all been at home together, I guess, and not on the road as much. And we just had the opportunity to really, like, start writing together a lot, and Lachlan and Molly writing themselves as well. And so this new EP is, like, all of it is, you know, us writing together. And then sometimes bringing those ideas into co-writes as well, which is really cool, because it definitely has, like, a new kind of Buckley flavor that has all of our, you know, individual kind of flavors in it, which Daydreams did as well, but because it's all, you know, ingrained in the writing now, it's really cool. We all really respect each other's musical styles and tastes and influences, and, it's really cool to be able to create something with that dynamic now.
That is pretty amazing when all three of you are writing, because, man, you've got some real creative genius when it comes to writing, Sarah. You are really good, and I think you've been told that by a lot of
thank
people.
You so much.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Let's take it back to the beginning, if you don't mind. Let's start with you, Molly. Okay, let's talk with you. Let's talk to you about just growing up together in the musical part of your life, when this all started for all three of you.
We grew up in a really musical household, you know. Dad was a drummer and all around muso, and mum loved music. So there were always instruments in the house, and, you know, an amp set up with microphones. So we were always playing together and jamming, like, in the, the garage. And then it was, I think, around like Tamworth Country Music Festival, which is Australia's biggest country music festival. We all went as a family and, like, camped in the blazing summer heat. It was brutal, but we loved it. And we were, like, busking on the street, probably getting petrol money to get home. And then we ended up getting top 10 in this, like, busking competition. So we got to play on this big main stage at the festival, and, you know, I think that really lit the fire for us three as a band. We really kind of were like, okay, we want to do this for real, and let's kind of knuckle down a bit more on it. So that would have been like 2012 or something, 2011. So ever since then, we kind of just kept going.
there's a big difference when you start out in this journey. When you think about what your dreams were, just even then, when you guys first started out in getting that opportunity to be able to hit a big stage like that, and being able to be on the stage where so many legends have been before you, what is the difference with what's happened in the pandemic and everything that's gone on just the last few years when everything shut down and the world changed? Did it change what your idea of success is for you, Molly?
I don't know if it changed the idea of success, because that's kind of always changing, but definitely, like, put things into perspective, and I definitely created, like, new goals around what I could do, because a lot of things that we wanted to get done those 2 years, we obviously, like, couldn't do them. So we kind of had to change the goalpost a bit of what we were doing and, like, what we were trying to achieve, because the whole formula kind of changed in the music industry. So
For sure.
But it was, I mean, you know, it was kind of, we just adapted to it and tried to do the best we could. So
you're writing.
It wasn't detrimental.
you're writing. You know, that was an opportunity, like Sarah was saying, for you to be able to dig deeper. And I think a lot of the artists have talked about, you know, hitting roadblocks and not being able to write at first because their inspiration comes from being on the road, meeting people, hearing stories and things like that. Was it that way for you guys?
Yeah, I think it was super great in terms of we're all stuck in this one home and just had nothing much else to do but music. So it was like we all just really kind of came into like songwriting together. And like I've always done some songwriting since I was younger, but really like came into it the last 2 years, and we all grew so much with each other, like collaborating together. So that was pretty special.
I think a lot of the music that we're going to be hearing in the next few years is going to be pretty amazing, like, or just because of what we've gone through. There's been some incredible songs that have been written because we dig deeper. We're, you know, we're more vulnerable than we've ever been before when it comes to being able to express how we feel, because we've never had that time before to remove the noise, right? So it's just...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's been really, really cool. Who were your influences, Molly?
Ooh, depends what day you ask. It's such a widespread. I don't know, it's such a hard question. I'd say mainly, and especially actually in the last couple years, I got super into like 80s like powerhouse women. So like Debbie Harry and Joan Jett are like two of my top girls. I love Electric Light Orchestra and like Steve Miller Band. And yeah, I don't know. It kind of goes on and on because I love Leon Bridges, I love his writing and like his old school writing. I don't know. There's so many things, so many artists I love to draw from.
Very cool. Electric Light Orchestra. Boy, that brings back some memories for me.
Oh, that's great. That's so good.
What about you, Lachlan? What about the influences for you? And did this give you also the opportunity to maybe dig a little bit more into live streaming and hear different types of sounds that you guys wanted to incorporate into your new music?
Yeah, definitely. My big influences would be same stuff that Molly said, but mainly Jimi Hendrix, Allman Brothers, and like Southern Rock from the 70s. And the psychedelic era from the 60s as well, and old school country like Patsy Cline, Eddie Rabbit, and what's her name? Big O Taxi, Jim Dory Mitchell. So mine back then.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's definitely a nice opportunity to just dig deeper into other elements of songwriting. And sorry, the girls are annoying me because I'm touching my foot on the table where the coffee is. Other elements of songwriting, instrumentation, our live performance as well, and seeing it on the live streams and so many other people doing different things. It's a really cool thing to happen and watch.
Very cool. What about you, Sarah? Who were your influences?
Like my husband said, it's like there's so much that we've grown up listening to. I would say, like, for me, I have like different influences for different, you know, things. So like as a songwriter, just those like iconic, like incredible songwriters like Freddie Mercury, Elton John, Taylor Swift, you know, just like great commercial but like really artistic and beautiful, just incredible songwriters, lyricists, and Beatles, those guys. And then for like, you know, music and all of that is, you know, female artists like Molly was saying, like Debbie Harry, Joan Jett, Carole King, and then a lot of the country music that we grew up listening to as well. So it just kind of depends. Like Molly said, today we're always like evolving our music taste as well, which is cool and really exciting. Something that we love about the new project that we're doing is like as we discover new music, it's always changing.
Is there a song in particular that you can think of, Sarah, I know it's a tough question to ask, but is there a song that kind of changed everything for you that, you know, when you listen to that song, you got those feels and you know what? Hey, I want to do this. I want to pursue music for real, especially the songwriting end of it.
Oh, gosh. It's such a hard question. There's so many that I could always think of, but like one of my favorite songs of all time is like, by, I love Queen so much, and like Somebody to Love by Queen. I think I first saw it in that Ella Enchanted movie, but then like fell in love with Queen and was like, oh my God, it's Freddie Mercury as a songwriter. Just like the feeling that it creates is just like, that's kind of like the mission as a songwriter, I feel like, to just be able to like create that feeling that, you know, I get when I listen to a song like that or listen to music that really just touches you, to be able to like create that for other people, for them to feel that and evoke that when they listen to our music. I feel like that's kind of the mission.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Boy, I'm telling you, this band has been on fire. So much buzz with you guys. And let's go back to the one song in particular that really set the tone for you guys. Let's talk about your single, Money. Talk about that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Money. I wrote this over in Nashville. I did like a quick, like, I think I was over in Nashville for like 4 days and LA for 2 days. And then I was home with the founder of our label, Chris Murphy. And I wrote this song, Money, like early. I think it was like a really early co-write because I was flying to LA later at like 1 o'clock that day. So one of our friends, Phil Barton, who's an incredible songwriter in Nashville, I was like, do you want to, are you up for a ride at like 8:30 a.m.? Which maybe isn't that early for most people, but songwriters maybe. So we went and we like wrote this song, and I didn't, the money concept was kind of funny because I was like so broke. It was kind of like sarcastic, but we wrote this song and then recorded it, and here it is.
I'm telling you, because that's off your Daydream. Scored number one for the single of Australian radio in 2019, followed by the second single, I'm Coming For You. That one reached, what, number three? And then same thing on the chart. So your third single, Money, reached number two, and Breathe reached number three. Did you guys expect it to do that well, Lachlan?
No, not really, actually. Definitely not. We were hoping, but we were not expecting. But, yeah, it was pretty awesome seeing the songs climb off the charts like that. And, it kind of blew our minds a little bit and made us very excited. We definitely weren't expecting Money to, and I'm Coming For You and all the other songs to climb up the charts like they did. It was very surprising, and made us extremely excited. And then the pandemic hit, and we all know what happened after that.
Well, you know what? You never know what life's going to throw us, but that was definitely one we weren't expecting in our generation. That's for sure. So having to, like, because you guys just signed your record deal in 2019 with Chris Murphy's Petrol Records. Tell us what that felt like to be able to get a call like that.
It was pretty incredible. You know, we have so, like, just to have someone at this level, you know, show interest in us as a band and have a mentor like Chris Murphy, who has such a caliber of knowledge and experience behind him. We're just like eternally grateful, and learned so many life lessons in every way of life, like in the music industry, life in general. You know, we learned so much, and just to be part of a team like Petrol Records. It's such an honor.
That is just, you know, it's an amazing opportunity when you see someone that believes in you so much, but you have to do the hard work first. And you guys have really done that. You really care about your craft and you really know music. Your catalog that of influences is pretty significant. And just to hear the kind of writing that you've done, you can really hear an awful lot of those influences in there. And that takes a pretty special talent.
Wow, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I think it all just stems from being raised on the Blues Brothers, to be honest.
I agree.
Also live mentors right there, Jake and Elwood.
Yeah, there's some pretty great ones. Tell us about working with Grammy Award-winning producer and engineer Chad Carlson, Sarah.
Daddy boy, Chad's Chad is, such a great friend of ours. It was funny, actually, the way we met was such a Nashville experience. I was riding with one of my good friends, Melissa Fuller, and we were looking for a producer at the time, and she was like, oh, well, my neighbor's a producer. And so she's like, why don't we go say hi? We drove over to Chad's house.
Oh, Lord.
And there's, you know, Granny on the wall. And then we, you know, chatted, and then, you know, got on really well. We wrote a song, which ended up being I'm Coming For Ya. And, yeah, he recorded our first songs that we did in Nashville, and those first two singles, Daydream and I'm Coming For Ya. And then we, recorded our debut album with him. And that was such a great experience. And, yeah, now our second, EP.
Wow. You know what? That's when you guys plan on starting to hit a fire, you go right into the frying pan, is what you guys did. Holy cow!
Really, yeah.
Nothing like.
I'll just go head first into this, my technical situation.
nothing like putting yourself, you know, into some major pressure situation, right, Lachlan?
Yeah, it was like I'll never forget our first show in months. Coming out of COVID, when we couldn't play a show, was to like 15,000 people at a stadium.
Ooh.
At SoundCloud Stadium. And that was, that was pretty crazy.
I know we often get thrown in the deep end and see if we can swim. Thankfully, we've swum so far. But
What's it like, Molly, when you see the stage like you came from and then heading to Nashville, like when you first started out, going to Nashville and getting on a bigger stage and performing in a place like that? What was the difference between Australia and US?
It's pretty, like the crowds and stages or just playing in general?
I would say the crowds, like just the difference, because there's so much history in music in Nashville, and a lot of people are really intimidated when they get there, but they also want to see how you play, right? The producers want to see how you're playing, and they want to get you in front of as many audiences as they can, right?
Totally, it's interesting, actually, going from Australia to the US and seeing how the crowds interact differently and how different the crowds respond to the music you're playing as well. Like we change our sets and like alter the songs we play depending on each place we play, especially if we're playing a show in the US versus Australia. Our whole set will be like curated differently, so it's interesting, but we love both. Like, there's not one better than the other. It's pretty fun both ways. Australia crowds can get pretty loose and dangerous, and US guys can also do the same, so
oh yes.
<It's fun.
laughs> Well,
I would say there's more fight in Australia than crowds compared to America.
See, you just
when everyone starts drinking,
you just have to write a song about that. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, Australians love a good punch up.
There you go.
We have a show, Gympie Muffster, coming up soon in Australia, and that is like the loosest little festival, Australian country music festival. It's so funny. It's great. It's like in the outback, in the middle of nowhere, like dirt road to get onto it. But then when you get there, it's like thousands of people just like parked up, and it's so fun. In their trucks, like, it's so funny. It's a great vibe, but oh, God.
It sounds like Havelock out this way in Boots and Hearts.
I really want to film it. I want to film just the entrance. Pretty incredible. It's a great vibe. Everyone has so much fun.
It's so funny because half of them don't listen to the bands that are on during the day because they're so hungover. And by the time they crawl to the stage at nighttime, they're only there for the last two acts, right? So.
Mind you, Australians probably have pretty good, what's it called? Yeah.
Tolerance?
Pretty good practice for drinking.
So they can make it to all the shows and still be inebriated and enjoy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially up in Queensland. Yeah, that's first rodeo.
Oh. I know that a lot of the a lot of the artists will joke and laugh about the funniest memories being on stage, because a lot of them have to do with, you know, fans that are drinking and a fight that breaks out and, you know, looking at each other going like, what do we do? Do we just keep playing or what's your funniest memory?
We haven't had a girl do a shoey, which I don't know what that is over in America, but
they're fine. I can't remember where the show was, but there was a full-on punch-up at the back of the crowd.
Really?
That's some show that we played.
Seeing our songs would evoke that kind of energy, but I was playing Oops, I Love You or Daydream, and then fine at the back.
See? Those are the memories. Those are the memories you want to hold on to, because half the time, I think that, you know, at this stage in your career, I know a lot of the artists don't even remember the shows because you're just going from one place to the next. You're traveling all the time and, you know, in between and just trying to get some rest before you can turn around and get to the next stage. And they don't remember, you know, half of it. And just taking that snippet of time and just being able to take a look at and remember that moment is what you're going to carry with you years down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we really like. I think after the past 2 years, a lot of people enough to just, you know, really grateful for every single experience and just taking it all in instead of kind of rushing through and trying to get to the next thing. Just, yeah, really grateful for everything we get to experience.
Well, you guys have amassed over five, it's got to be over this now. What I've got down is 5.8 million total global streams. I would imagine that's just for your debut album. And over 1.3 million locally and reached number 18 on the Australian country charts. I would imagine what that must have felt like for you guys to hit that.
Yeah, so wild. It's just, you know, we're always so grateful for anyone that listens to our music. And so to be able to do what we love and be able to keep doing it and just, you know, grow as writers and artists and as a band and have people, you know, want to listen is just the best feeling ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Molly, you guys signed a partnership with Live Nation during the lockdown for the World Virtual Tour. Tell us about that.
Yep. Talk about getting started in the deep end and seeing if you can
again
swim. It was such an incredible experience and opportunity, but we were all to do the World Virtual Tour, but we couldn't have our usual band, because we were all locked inside. So we got our little brother, who was 12 at the time, to jump behind drums and never played drums with us. And I think when we got the call, it was like, you guys start in like 2 days. So it's like, or like tomorrow, I don't know, it was something like crazy. We had no time. But we got Dylan, who's our little brother, to jump on drums and just wing it, basically. And I think Dad jumped in on a couple songs. And we transformed like the back room in our house. That's literally the entrance two of our bedrooms, and we blocked it all off with like black curtains to give it like a bit of like a club vibe or
wow,
like a little club or CBGB's vibe. And yeah, we just ran with it. It was really fun.
Talk about being thrown in the deep end. Yeah, you guys tend to do that a lot, apparently.
Yeah. Wait, what was that question? Sorry. Yeah, we do. It was actually, I didn't even play bass at that time. We didn't have a bass player, obviously. Like,
oh,
like,
no.
Inside in our home. So I started playing bass, like, just for that. And then I am the bass player now. I absolutely love the bass. So
holy
that was another
cow.
Funny thing that kind of came out of it. That wouldn't have happened otherwise.
You guys must pick up the instruments very quickly, because Sarah, you were the recipient of the 2021 Professional Development Award and secured the first Cinch placement for the track airing during the David, you know, like that. It's crazy when you sit and look at what you've done in the documentary as well as guitar player, man, oh man.
Yeah, we're pretty surprised. We're all with it. Doing our best.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Like, there's so many instruments out there. You kind of just like see one and you gravitate to it. And I'm like, well, I want to start playing that too. Why not?
Wow.
I started learning piano recording too over the pandemic.
That's insane. That's
sorry, guys. That's insane. That wasn't that dedicated.
Well, that's insane because of 2019, it was like the CMAA album of the year. You know, you received 3-time Golden Guitar Award nominations for Daydream. It's like, wow.
Yeah. I know. That was another funny thing. We like the Country Music Awards in Australia. We had like bought tickets to go to that like 2 years before then, and we're like right at the back in the back row just watching it. So excited to be, you know, watching it. And then the year after that we were playing on the stage and then nominated. It was just like such an incredible, you know, goal that we, you know, had set out when we first started, like Molly said, at the Tamworth Country Music Festival, where it takes place about, I don't know, 10 years ago now. So yeah, very, very grateful.
Well, because you've also co-written with Caitlin Chabot as well for the Edge of the Earth, or Edge of the Earth, yeah, and Two Lost Lovers, as well as Felicity Urquhart's, right? You've done that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love writing with other artists as well. All of us do a bit of that, actually, and it's just, really fun to be able to collaborate with people. Same with Camila Fernandez, just kind of, you know, translate and write their story and what they're experiencing into a song that wouldn't necessarily be a Busley song. So that's something we really love doing. And I've been doing, quite a bit of as well on the side.
Wow. You know, I think that's why when I look at your, you know, when I looked at the YouTube videos for you guys and just everything that's gone on for you in your career so far, you guys have something so special. And that's why when I was asked to do this interview, I thought, you know what, Canada needs to hear. And so does, you know, like we have so many listeners all over the world. So it's really cool to be able to bring this music to them and be able to, you know, give them a little bit of backstory about you guys, because you guys are really impressive. You guys are very unique, and your sound is, you know, I can identify your sound right away. And that's half the battle.
Oh, thank you so much. That's like, that really is the sweetest thing. And thank you. Thanks for chatting with us as well.
Oh, absolutely.
We can't wait to get over there to Canada.
I can't wait for you guys to come. It's going to be such a standout moment for you. Lachlan, what's been the biggest moment for you in your career so far?
I would say signing Perpetual Records and becoming and having a mentor like Chris Murphy. That was one of the biggest things that's ever happened, so that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And traveling to Nashville and recording songs to be released and songwrite. those would be the biggest achievements.
It's really cool when you look at live streaming and everything that's taken place over the last, 5 years, but especially over, the pandemic. All the co-writes, and you wouldn't have done the same type of thing where people are recording their vocals in one place. And, you don't have to do that anymore. People are doing it in their homes. People are doing it in so many different areas around the world where, we're putting whole albums together right now. And, they can be released the next day. It's just like a different world. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it's definitely beneficial in a lot of ways, the whole interactive media over Zoom and all that stuff, and being able to record separately in your own houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing for you guys, being able to do the virtual, right? And opening up that door to a world of people, to be able to see you guys perform. Like, that wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. It's just, it's really changed and opened up an awful lot of opportunities for so many artists that are independent. Because, I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like in Australia, but I know what it's like here. We only have 20 slots for new releases when we're putting things on radio, and it's really tough, for independent artists to get on radio to begin with, because it's usually the veterans or the artists that are very popular that are releasing new music, and they'll usually pick those first. And it's tough. And then to be able to have these opportunities that you guys have had, it's just like catapulted you guys like right into the limelight very quickly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we definitely gained a lot of fans that we wouldn't have if we didn't do the virtual tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing to witness.
Very cool. What about you, Molly? What has been the standout moment for you? Because a lot of other artists, it depends. Sometimes it's the big stage. Sometimes it's the smaller stages where you get to be more intimate with your fans. What's been the standout moment for you?
Yeah. Ooh, good question. Thinking back, putting my thinking cap on. Oh my God, yeah, when my mandolin broke on stage the other night.
Oh.
Pretty great moment. Yeah, right. No, it's just an excuse that I have to get one. Get a new mando. But I'd probably say, probably similar to what Lachlan said, getting mentored by Chris is definitely one of the highlights of playing music, being in the music industry, mm-hmm. life in general. Yeah, that's probably the biggest one. Trying to think. I haven't thought about this. yeah, getting to Nashville for the first time after Sarah and I saved up for about 6 years is also, yeah, just like those little goal achievements that a lot of work went behind it. And although it's probably not like the biggest deal or thing that happened now, but just like the history behind it, you know, saving up 6 years, busking, doing everything we can, and then finally getting on that flight was super memorable and meant so much to us. So
I think probably, yeah, mm-hmm. I would think that's probably one of the best memories for you, because when you dream like that and you have that kind of goal, 6 years to save for that, that's a moment that you'll carry with you forever, to be able to go and get off that airplane and arrive in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a special moment, especially for the whole family to experience together. It was super cool. Yeah, just
nice.
Keep riding along.
What about you, Sarah? What has been the standout moment for you?
Yeah, I think same as Molly and Lachlan, that being able to meet and be mentored by Chris Murphy is just, you know, so life-changing and really sculpted us as a band, all the, you know, creative freedom that he let us have, and just the experiences and lessons that we learned from him. Yeah, definitely massive, and will always be, you know, so close to our hearts, Chris. And yeah, like Molly said, going to Nashville for the first time, you know, when I graduated high school, jumped on a plane by myself for the first time and went over to Nashville as well, and spent about a month or two riding over there, and that was so just like important for me as, you know, a person, and really sculpted me, you know, leaving and, you know, just doing that, being on the ground and meeting so many incredible songwriters, women in music that I look up to and so inspired by. I don't think I'd be the same person without having that experience and just, you know, getting out of my comfort zone, being over there on my own as well. So yeah, all of the experiences, though, we're just, you know, so, so grateful for everything I get to do.
Mm-hmm. Really incredible opportunities. As I said, when you're writing over in Nashville, there's nothing like it. I know a lot of people say everybody says you have to go to Nashville in order to succeed. I don't think that's true. I just think that there's just world-class musicians that are in every country. And, you know, looking in your own backyard, they're there. You just, you know, it's just different opportunities that you get, you know, to write in Nashville. That's just a little bit different. And it's just such a cool experience that you never forget.
Absolutely. And just like the intensity of like so much creativity in one place all the time. You just grow so much and so quickly. Like the growth of like, you know, when I look at songs that I wrote, you know, before a trip, and then I spent 6 weeks over in Nashville writing, and then the songs that, you know, are coming out towards the end of that trip. It's just, the growth is so much, especially when you're learning the craft and, you know, all that time that we've spent over there, like really just learning what songwriting is and the craft of it. It's completely, you know, molded, you know, us as songwriters for sure. And we just grow so much every time we're over there.
Oh, pretty cool. When you're talking about the songwriting over in Nashville, did you find that the different process to approaching songwriting for you, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. Like when we first went over to Nashville, I had just been writing by myself and a little bit, me and Molly wrote together as well. When we first went over there, it was our first ever co-write. It was actually funny. We played this little show. We didn't know anyone in Nashville when we first went. We just kind of called up every venue we could. And we ended up getting a show at Douglas Corner, which has closed now, but it was this iconic Nashville music venue. A lot of songwriter rounds took place there. And the band booker there, Debbie Throckmorton, really loves what we did. And she's an incredible songwriter. She just won a Grammy a couple of years ago for a song with Willie Nelson that she wrote. And her dad's also an iconic songwriter, Sonny Throckmorton, who's written so many hits like George Strait and, you know, Mel Haggard, Willie Nelson. And she really loved what we did. And we were like, I was 16, Molly was, these guys were younger. And she got us writing our very first co-writes with people like, you know, Bruce Chanel, who wrote Hey Baby, I Want to Know If You'd Be My Girl, and, you know, heaps of just Ray Van Hoy, just incredible songwriters we had grown up listening to. And it was so amazing to be in the room with them and just literally learning the craft of co-writing and becoming better as songwriters. So
just seeing their process, you know, you learn and grow so much as a songwriter just songwriting with other songwriters, because everyone works so differently throughout their creative process. So you kind of pick up little things on each co-write, and it's, yeah, it's special.
You guys are just on that trajectory that, you know, is just beginning, and it's just going to be so amazing just to see where you guys are in 5 years, let alone to what you guys have accomplished already.
Oh, thank you. I hope so.
Pretty special. Let's talk about the brand new single, Molly, that's out right now, Oops, I Love You. Tell me about the writing for this one.
This one's actually pretty funny how we wrote it. It was, the initial idea was Dylan, our little brother, was on the drums, and he was playing some little drum groove, and then Sarah jumped on bass, and I think Sarah started doing a little bass line, and then I think she was playing it, you said, like, oops, I love you, as kind of a joke, and then she brought it to Lachlan and I, and we're all in the room, and we kind of started a little bit of the verse, and we kept Oops, I Love You as the chorus, like, kind of just as a chorus little, like, what would the word be? Saying, I don't know. We just kept that phrase, the chorus phrase, and then we were like, okay, let's keep this in our back pocket and take it to Nashville, because, you know, bringing an idea that we love and saving it for a Nashville co-write for a talented songwriter, who we ended up getting, Chad Carlson. We were writing with him and brought in Oops, I Love You. And it's just great because they put in their own spin and their own flavour and, you know, all their kind of songwriting talent behind it. And so we started writing that, and we're like, it has to be Oops, I Love You. Sarah was like, oh, I don't know about Oops, I Love You. And I'm like, no, it's definitely Oops, I Love You. And we just started writing it all together in Chad's studio, and it was super fun. It was great. One of those, really, it's kind of like the like a Money Essence, like the song, it's very lighthearted, poppy, you know, fun song. So it was super fun to write.
Well, you can see the influences in that song so easily, you know, when you look at all the people that you've mentioned, all three of you, to who you've mentioned, and you can see so much in there. And it is such a fun song, and you recorded that at the famed East Iris Studios, which is pretty incredible. What was it like to record that one, Lachlan?
Recording in East Iris, yeah, that was amazing. Such an iconic studio. It's such awesome gear that's in there from a long time ago. And in the tracking room, recording with all the musicians, like, we're all just having a good time, having a laugh. We managed to record 6 songs in about 6 hours.
Oh, wow. And, see? Again,
yeah,
steroids.
Oops, I Love You. We were just having so much fun playing it. And, we got it done really quickly. Just, you know, I think it's because our energy, everyone's energy was matching each other's. Everybody loved the songs, and yeah, we just had a great time playing music in the studio.
I always hear all the time that one of the best pieces of advice is like, don't record a song that you're not going to want to have to play, you know, 20 years from now.
Yeah,
you got to enjoy the songs, because you're going to be playing them.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing them for years and years to come.
It could be a great song, but if you don't enjoy it, then
yeah,
there's not much point.
Now, we're going to play this one right now, the fun song right now. Here's their brand new single, Oops, I Love You, by Rising Stars Australian country pop trio, The Buckleys, here on Music's Journey. By my very special guest, Australian country pop trio, The Buckleys. It is just such a great song. You can download it on all your streaming platforms. You can also show it a little bit of love by adding it to your playlist, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. Such a catchy, fun tune. I love the tongue in cheek, the lyrics in this track. It's really cool. Really, really cool. Molly, tell us about releasing the music video a few days ago. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, that was super, we had so much fun recording that music video. It was super fun. We were in East Side Studios, and the artwork all over the walls and the roof, incredible. Sarah and I, well, we're at a competition now because whoever gets a house first is getting that artist to paint the house. So pretty. It's like a magical fairy castle. It's such a creative space. Like, you walk in and you just feel like there's, you know, creativity just flowing off the wall. Literally, there is. Like, the artwork is so incredible. So, yeah, just to be playing that studio, record, and then do the film clip was such a cool creative journey. And the fact that it was all at the same place was pretty cool. Yeah, it was fun.
It looks like it. You guys have to really engage the Canadian audiences and everybody when it comes to your music videos and ask people to do one of their own on TikTok that matches your song.
Yes, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It gets fans. It gets,
we need to get our TikTok game up.
Yeah, because it gets fans wide open to enjoying the song and how they interpret it, right? And being able to play it back for you guys. I think it would be such a cool idea for this song.
Yeah, that would actually be really awesome if you do that, for sure. Where will you do yours?
Well, yeah, for me, I'm so busy doing interviews. The one thing I haven't done is TikTok yet. I haven't done it yet because there's just zero time for me because I'm back to back all day long editing and producing and writing. So that's all I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I get to write yours. I'll get there.
Exactly.
I definitely will get there. Now, Sarah, absolutely. Are you going to be releasing any more music this year, Sarah?
Oh yes, absolutely. We actually have an EP coming out August. So we are so excited. So excited to be able to share this new music with everyone.
Ooh, nice. How many songs are on it?
There are 5 songs. Okay.
Very cool. So no more releases, right? Until then. So you're going to be doing the EP is the next one, right?
So in August, the EP will come out, and we'll see what happens next.
So you guys are going to have to come back when you release the EP.
Yes, we are planning. Hopefully, that would be so good. We cannot wait to get back on the ground over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that way I can sit and talk to you about all the songs there, and we can go through some of the lyrics and things like that, if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely.
All right. So do you guys have time for a few burning questions before you go?
Of course.
All right. Love it. Okay, firing this one off at you, Sarah, first. Okay, favorite summertime drink?
Summertime drink. Oh, margarita.
Nice. Okay. What about you, What about you, Logan?
Whiskey.
Do you have a favorite brand that you like?
Tintin Bar Distillery.
Nice.
Local. Keep it local.
There you go. That's the important thing, right?
Just saying.
What about you, Molly?
Yeah. Kill? Just shot, to be honest.
See, you're calling to me, Molly. You're calling to me. See, mine's tequila. I like to have.
Maybe when we talk about all the lyrics and songwriting, when we all get together, we'll just have a bottle of tequila and free pour.
Okay. So every single time I say a certain word, we're going to have to play that game.
Yeah,
you guys are going to have to pick the word prior to the interview. And then that way I don't know what I've already produced and written the interview by then, so I won't know what it is. So I have no idea how many shots I'm going to be taking during that show.
Yeah.
Ooh, could be interesting. See, it's a good thing it's going to be on the podcast. We'll just have to edit it for the radio station. Okay. Who is your favorite artist on radio today, Sarah? Any genre?
Oh my gosh, so difficult. I am really loving favorite. It's too hard. We have like one favorite. I would say right now I'm really loving Ingrid Andres, coming out of Nashville. She's a great songwriter. So right now I'm digging her music.
Very cool. Very cool. What about you, Lachlan? What about you?
Midland.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah. I've shot them so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definite.
Do you what, sorry?
I've shot them so many times.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I really, really like them. I was there when they first started, so yeah. They're really cool.
Oh wow.
Yeah, very, very cool. What about you, Molly?
Ooh. Probably Leon Bridges. Love Leon. He's like probably one of my favorite current artists.
He is so good.
Just he's such a good vibe, such a his songs are just so great and like nostalgic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it.
I absolutely love his voice. His voice is so good.
Yeah, it's his voice sounds like whiskey.
yes. Okay, what is your favorite thing to do there in Australia when you are unplugged, not writing, not recording, nothing to do with music? What is your favorite thing, Sarah?
I don't really do much else. drinking coffee. I really don't do much. I'd say going out with friends. Our dad does a residency in Byron Bay. He does a drilling piano show like 3 to 6 nights a week, and it goes off. It's like literally like the funnest thing in our town, Byron Bay, which is like a super tourist, spot. So it's like packed with people all the time, and that's a fun time. So I'd say, that's a good time. Singing all the classics.
We
jump up and sing a couple of songs with dad sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely have to come. Come to Byron. Have a barbecue with fam.
Ah, see, that sounds good to me. Okay, yeah. So Lachlan, favorite barbecue meal?
Chicken wings.
All right, so what about you, Molly?
Wait, favorite thing to barbecue? Bananas, yeah, bananas. Oh, damn. Please tell me that's a thing in the States. I've never asked anyone.
Canada.
What, the banana split? What do you? Which one?
No, you literally just chuck banana on the barbecue. Like, you don't open it, you just chuck the banana and it's still all intact and you just chuck it on and it marinates.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. So that's your favorite. That's your favorite. Wow. Okay.
It's pretty delicious. I hear a bit of judgment in that voice.
That is so funny. That's so funny. For me, it's the spare ribs every time. I figured you guys were going to be saying some kind of meat for sure.
Kangaroo.
No, do you really? Don't tell me that.
It's just real. Yeah.
Don't say that to me. It's like telling me about, you know, bunny rabbits is just not a good thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just well, like see. Yeah, yeah. See.
No.
I knew he was going to say something to that one. I knew it. See, I'm a wildlife photographer, so it's really hard for me to do anything else, right? I just like seeing them in their nature, right? That was too funny. Oh boy. See, I'm gonna have a talk with you when I get there, Lachlan. Okay, this is gonna be a funny one, but this is how we're gonna play this game, okay? So I'm gonna get Molly to answer the question regarding Sarah. Okay? And then I'll tell you who next. Okay. What is Sarah's most useless talent?
Oh, it's easy. Literally anything that's I need to round it up. Cleaning, cooking, laundry, like probably just like life, like any domestics, pretty much.
Oh, too funny.
Just basically any living, like anything that involves living, not too good.
So she doesn't do any quirky little, you know, things like, I don't know, like a lot of people will bend their fingers backwards or they have bird calls or like just really silly stuff.
Headband. Oh, she's pretty good at headband. What else do you do that's silly? Voice is pretty silly. I don't know. Yeah, no, I'd probably just say, yeah. Yeah, true. Okay, gold medal gymnast.
Gold medal.
That's kind of her party trick. She'll like, we'll be at a party and she'll be like, anyone want to have a handstand competition? Just because she knows she'll win.
Oh, see, there we go. So what's your favorite trick to do? What's your favorite trick to do or move as a gymnast?
As a gymnast, I would go. I would definitely call myself a gymnast. I was pretty great at most things, especially the beam.
Okay, so when she's okay, so Molly, this is your task for me, okay? So when she's had a few margaritas, I want you to film her being that on TikTok and send it to me.
Okay, I will. I think I already have it. I already have a video.
Okay, so you got to send that to me, okay?
Okay, all right. I'll go find it.
Sarah's going, no, don't do that. Don't you dare do that. All right, so Sarah, for Lachlan, tell us what his most useless talent is.
Oh, man, useless talent. What is Austin's useless talent?
I'm a pretty handy person.
Molly, I need assistance. Not good under pressure like this. Oh my god, I'm so nervous. Yeah, an all-rounder. Molly, what is your useless talent? See, this is the thing. I have so many things that I do, so I have a bunch of useless talents. What do you do? He's a great surfer, but that's not useless. Yeah, he has his one piano song. He has his one song he plays on the piano constantly. It's like, that's pretty useless. It's pretty useless.
What song is that?
I'm just in my early stages of learning how to play the piano.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's, I don't even know what it is. It's just like one little riff. It's probably his own thing.
Okay.
No, it's not. It would have been, but I have another one. He had a really big when he was growing up, a big forging kind of career as a youngin. Forging things in the backyard, like what is it, making knives and things like that.
Oh.
And we had like we weren't on a farm. Oh no, we weren't on a farm that time. Yeah. Anyway, so he'd just be in the backyard with the campfire, going forging things like knives. Pretty useless, if you ask me.
cooking is chicken wings, right? Cooking is chicken wings.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Lachlan, what is Molly's?
Molly's would be Molly's most useful talent.
Useless.
Sorry, useless talent. It is. God damn it! Now I'm just on the spot. No, you're not. Give me a second. There's a lot out there. Don't you worry.
So,
useless talent.
She's super flexible. She can like bend over like a Scorpio and do like all those really flexible tricks.
Ooh.
Yeah,
like
true.
Double joint kind of vibe. Yeah.
That is cool.
Pretty useless.
That's cool. See, there you go. There you go. Okay, so
The fact that she's a mandolin player.
Oh.
Useless talent.
Yeah, see, right. You wouldn't say that in Canada.
That was a good one. That was really good.
Okay. All right. So if you guys could travel anywhere in the world, not to perform or anything else, but to travel anywhere in the world, Sarah, that you would love to be a part of the culture and just experience the life of the people, where would it be and why?
Mexico. Absolutely. I am so excited to go back to Mexico. I've been learning Spanish the past year. And we only got 2 days there to shoot the music video, which was such a tease, really. But it was such a great taste, and we can't wait to go back to Guadalajara, where Camila's based, and go hang out and, yeah, have some fun in Mexico. I'm also campaigning that we have Christmas in Hawaii, but
nice.
The family isn't on board yet, but I want to go to Hawaii. Yeah, Christmas in Hawaii, but
Twitter, Sarah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, lots of places, but New Year's Eve in New Orleans. Yeah, that's a constant.
Ooh, New Orleans would be a cool one too. Yeah, that would be a really cool one. Okay, so we got to wrap up here. So what about you, Lachlan?
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. New Molly, Orleans. What about you?
Sure.
Me? Probably France. I really want to go to France. Learn more. Like, really kind of indulge in the culture, fashion culture especially, and Mexico also, you know, that trip to Mexico really lit the fire inside of all of us that we want to go to Guadalajara. I'm always saying it right. Here's Guadalajara. Well, I'm not sure. We'll learn an adventure. But there's heaps. I don't want to in the near future be in one place for too long.
Yeah.
I think we're all just so keen to travel and get out and, gypsy souls.
There you go. Well, it has been such a pleasure to have you guys on the show, and I look forward to having you back when you guys are ready to release that EP.
Oh, yeah. We are so pumped. Thank you so much for chatting with us. We'll see you over there, hopefully very soon.
Absolutely. You guys have a great, great day, and I will talk to you guys really soon.
Awesome. See you soon. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guests, Sarah, Lachlan, and Molly Buckley, for coming on the show from the Australian country pop trio, The Buckleys. They are such a treasure. I have some amazing artists that are going to be coming up for end July. We're going to be chatting with Ollie Walker, Katie Hurt, Emma Peterson, Quentin Blair, Kelly Prescott, High Valley, rock band Taming Sari, rock band Weapons, Matt Rogers, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Cadence Grace, Emerson Drive, Gil Grand, Simone Fuller, Tyler Joe Miller, Dustin Bird, Kadu, Nice Horse, Maya Stokes, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, the new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.